You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sir.
No way.
You must go seize the moment.
Come down to the signal. Right down, Ben Davis. Right down, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. We're live here from the Arby's on West 10th Street. It's a beautiful autumn night here in October. I'm your host, Corey Vervinks, being joined by Jeff Robinson. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great.
I'm also being joined by John Easter. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well here at Arby's. We've got an audience tonight, so that's great to have.
Yeah, we do.
And good also, evening. Good this evening.
Also being joined by the main man himself, Coach Kirchner. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here and talk a little football.
Well, last Friday, the Giants lost a very close one to the Carmel Greyhounds. Tell us about the game, Coach.
Wow. Where do you start? Thought we played really well for three quarters. There's a lot of things we can look at that kind of – it was an odd game. You know, we go up 7-0, they answer it. It's 7-7. We go up 14-7. We get a three and out. We block a punt. We got three guys running to the end zone to get the ball. And in their excitement, they all kind of push each other over the ball. Carmel ends up on the ball. Instead of getting seven, we get two. And you're thinking, oh, that's pretty good. Well, it's 16-7. And you're thinking, okay, we get the kickoff. They kick it off to Rondale. He runs it back deep into their territory. We're going in to score. It's third and a foot, you know, on about the 5-yard line. And we fumble the snap, you know, instead of getting the first down, it's now fourth and three. We decide to kick the field goal, and we just shank the kick. And so you look at that hole, you could have been 21-7. You could have been 23-7. There was a whole thing that transpired right there that you think, okay, you're still okay, but I've been around long enough. When you miss opportunities like we did right there, it bites you. Well, you know, we fight through. We get through the half. We get to the second half. And again, we're playing pretty well. We score on the opening drive of the second half. We're up 30-14, you know, and we get them third and really long, and they run a draw play. We blitzed, right, wrong, or indifferent. Everybody's got their opinions on what we should have called, didn't call, maybe called a call, whatever. We made a call. It backfired on us. You know, we were kind of going for the jugular vein, and they got out of it, and that kind of changed the momentum of the game. And I'm not sure why our kids responded differently, you know, and they go in and score, you know, early fourth quarter. It's now 30-20. You're okay. We come out, we have a beautiful third down play, and unfortunately our young man dropped the ball, you know. So we end up punting. They go down and score. It's 30-27. You know, we answer it with a long run by Joey Person, makes it 36-27. They come out, score, it's 36-34. We come out and just don't quite execute the way we wanted to. Ended up punting. They got the ball back. And by this point, our defense is completely on their heels and have completely just kind of lost focus. They go down and score with 40 seconds to go, and the game's over. And you're sitting there looking back, and you have 530 yards of offense. And honestly, at one point early in the fourth quarter, we had 400 yards of offense, and they had 175. And so you felt like you were in control, but I go back to that whole series of plays that transpired when we didn't get the blocked punt on the fumble for a touchdown, when we didn't finish the drive, and then when they ran the draw play and we had a stunt called. There was if I had three plays that changed the game, that was it. And I thought we played hard at times. I don't think we played mentally very hard at times. And that's the kind of stuff that's got to get fixed. And you sit there, we lost by four. Okay, well, we missed a field goal. We had a PAT blocked. We had a PAT that we didn't even get to kick because the holder dropped the ball. There's 5 points. Now it's 41-40. You win. And so there's three other plays that if you just execute them. And PAT, and that's been a problem for us all year. Again, we worked on it really hard again tonight. I mean, there isn't a night at practice we don't go by that we don't work on PAT. We're just struggling. We've subbed some kids. We've made some personnel adjustments on that special team because we're tired of fighting some of the issues we've been having, and we got to get better. That's the bottom line. We felt like we lost a game we should have won and could have won, didn't, which is a credit to Carmel, and we got to get better.
Well, Coach, going into the fourth quarter, leading 30-14, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. Having Carmel score 26 points to win the game, what does that do to the team's morale and demeanor?
Well, it's not good. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, "Oh, our kids got over it." No, it was, it's been a rough start to the week. But here's the beauty of Indiana football. I can go back to 2002 when we were 2-3 to start the season, and I'm telling you, I sat in the staff meeting with Coach Delahan, and he was ready to quit. He was ready to be done. Didn't want to coach him anymore. Didn't want to go to practice. You know, he was done. You know, I mean, and we righted the ship and ended up winning the state that year. The beauty of Indiana football is we're going to make playoffs. You know, if we lose this week to Lawrence Central and we lose next week to North Central, we're 4-5. We still get to go to the playoffs. And we're a good football team. We just haven't put it together for a while. And, for example, we're averaging almost 450 yards of offense a game. Now, you think about in our conference, at 450 yards, we're averaging 39.4 points a game. We're only giving up 18. In 6A football, point differential, that's the third best in 6A football. 6A, that's Penn and Bourne, and you look at the numbers Warren's thrown up. You know, so our point differential for what we scored and what we've given up is really good. We just, what ails us is a mental, disciplined approach to the game and learning how to play four quarters.
Whenever you look at the way this game turned, is there any credence to maybe Carmel being the hungrier team or more desperate team in this case? They went into the game being 3-3, come out 4-3, and would have been in the unusual situation of having a losing record at this point in the season. How important was this game really toward their season?
Well, I'm sure it was, but I think it was just important to us. You know, we'd come off the win the week before against LN and had a good win against a good LN team, you know, that Carmel had lost to 2 weeks earlier. And we're looking for that, I don't know, some people call it a signature win. You know, I don't know. I'm sure they were. They got going, got on a roll. Everything they seemed to do worked. You know, everything we seemed to do when we got in the middle of the fourth quarter didn't. We had, I think, 13 penalties for or 15 penalties for 135 yards or something like that, and we had 8 of them in the fourth quarter. You know, so it was like we couldn't touch anybody. We couldn't get lined up right. We didn't know, you know. And so, you know, we had a couple kids get dinged. Willie had to come out and couldn't play, and Keelan was playing limping, and he had to cut. So we had some issues with that and some personnel issues, and that's part of the game. But I thought we were both hungry. I thought we played really hard and really well for three quarters. What caused us to break down in the fourth is a mystery to me a little bit.
This game in some ways reminded me of a game up in North Central a few years ago.
40-39.
Yeah, where North Central, you guys were up big. And then
24-7.
Started
31-7, I think.
31-7.
Yeah. And then things just started to snowball and went badly, and you end up losing
40-39.
1 point, kind of a controversial call at the end of that game. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. You know, in you kind of, I think, mentioned it. It is the kind of the beauty and the curse of Indiana high school football. And playing the schedule that you do each week, you've got Carmel on there that, yeah, they're struggling. They needed a win just as bad as you guys did, right. Maybe even worse, you could argue. And, you know, they were playing on their homecoming in front of all their fans, and, you know, they got it going and things snowballed. But what is your concern coming out of the game? Obviously, you mentioned that you've got some players dinged.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them back, obviously, probably is a big concern for you at this point. But,
right.
You know, not to kind of jump ahead to Lawrence Central, but what's your concern coming out?
Well, besides the injuries, which obviously there's nothing we can do. It's the next guy up type thing. But our biggest concern,
I guess, from a mental standpoint.
Our biggest concern is getting our kids to understand how to play a game for four quarters, you know. And I know we scored some points early on some people, and we've really, with the exception of Center Grove, we've scored points on everybody. But there's always those points in the game where penalties hurt us, you know, miscommunication, whatever. You know, we practice pretty well as a team, but we're not getting the mentality. So our big concern is getting our kids to play through four quarters of football and not just be satisfied with whatever lead we have or whatever lead we don't have. And it's a concern because it's reared up a couple times. I thought we started off fast against Carmel, which was a point of emphasis with us this week, and we did. We started off really fast, whereas the Warren game, I thought we started off really slow and then kind of got the momentum going and kind of changed things in the second half. So we just haven't, you know, Warren, we didn't play early. We didn't play well early, played well late. Carmel, we played well early, didn't play well late. We haven't got them to understand it takes 48 minutes and you can't relax.
And then, you know, another part of this is this series. I mean, this, you've been on the other side of this with Carmel where they've gotten up 24 to nothing, I think.
Yeah, and we came back and won 28-24.
Right. So what is it about this series that sometimes you've been on both sides of it?
Yeah, it's pretty good football, you know, and you're talking about a couple tradition-rich programs that, you know, they don't expect to lose. We don't go on the field expecting to lose. You know, I've been places where losing was kind of the norm, you know, and you had to teach them how to win. These kids expect to win, and so losing isn't part of their DNA, which is the same way at Carmel and Warren and places like that that have that tradition of football that they just expected.
Now, Coach, late in the game on Friday, Joey Person gets a handoff, gets stripped, and takes a hard hit, receives treatment on the field, and gets carted off. Can you give the audience any update on Joey's condition?
He's fine. He's fine. He'll be back. He's concussion, maybe mild at best, but he'll be fine. It's what it was. I mean, it was tough to watch when you watch something like that. You know, I dealt with it last year at Avon and then even this fall at Avon with Pompey and breaking his leg as bad as that break was. But it happens. But he's gonna be fine. He's been at school every day this week and hasn't missed anything, and he's doing okay.
Is he going to be available for Friday?
Oh, no. It'll be a while.
By the same token, what does it do to the psyche of a team whenever you have a player or a teammate go down?
It doesn't help
like that.
It doesn't help. It makes you nervous. It makes kids nervous. You know, they don't want to see their buddies hurt, and at the same time, they don't want anybody hurt. You know, I don't even want anybody hurt on another team. Last year when the Avon kid went down, I was kind of sick to my stomach. You know, I'm the one that saw it. It was right in front of me, about 5-6 yards in front of me, and I didn't even like it. I didn't like the way the kid was moving on the field. I got yucky. You know, I'm not a queasy kind of guy, but you just don't want to see anybody go hurt. You know, I've no coaches have been around programs, and several years ago, Cathedral had a kid that passed away on him at practice. Well, I knew Jeremy from when he was a little boy coming to football camp, so I went to the funeral and knew the family. They lived out in Danville, even though he went to Cathedral, and I'd known them, and that's just tough. You don't know, you know, and so when they're laying there not moving, it just makes you real uncomfortable because you don't know.
When you look at Carmel, a team that, you know, we talked about, I think even last week, hadn't put it all together yet. Do you think they finally put it all together Friday night, or where do you think they are? Do you think they're a team that you could see again in the state tournament?
Possibly, especially with the route they have. They get to go north. I thought they executed their offense pretty well in the fourth quarter. You know, up till that point, you know, they had the two touchdown drives, but they had five, three and outs in that sequence. You know, going into the fourth quarter, they only had about 170 yards of offense, and then they had 250 in the fourth quarter. So, like us, we weren't happy with how our defense finished the game. They can't be happy their defense gave up 530 yards. And some of the stops they had were literally our guys just dropping the ball on third down, or the fumble at the going in at the 10. You know, we fumbled the snap. That's just a bad exchange. You know, we got to fix things. That I'm sure they're looking at. They got to fix things as well. They got a tough one. We got a huge one with LC, and they got a huge one with Warren, you know.
Well, Coach, there's a couple times on kickoffs where it looked like almost when they popped the ball, when Drake popped the ball up, it looked like it was almost an attempted onside kick. Were those designed or were they accidental?
No, actually, those were designed. They weren't onside. We call them sky kicks, and we're intentionally kicking it to somebody based on what we think. Now, there are certain guys they have deep. We don't want to have the ball. So we sky kick it with the intent that, you know, maybe we get them to drop it or they fair catch it right there. And I felt like we should have gotten both of them. We had two of them that hit the ground, and for whatever reason, we couldn't come up with a ball. And you know, last year we did that at the Pike game in the sectional. We came up with every one of them, you know. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we've scored 55. You know, this time if you get both those, that's two less possessions for them, two more opportunities for you. Now the game changes. And again, that's Bobby Bowden said it best. You could take any game you've ever played in, and if two teams are fairly equal and you reverse four plays, the other team wins. And I could do that in a heartbeat. Reverse four plays, we win, they lose. You know, and they could say the same thing type thing. So, and there's a lot of truth. When teams are equal, there's very little that discerns, and sometimes it's who makes the fewest mistakes. And in our case, when you look at the number of penalties, we didn't have turnovers. When you look at the number of penalties, that was our mistakes, in my mind.
We're going to take a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football. When we come back, we'll preview the game, the final home game of the season against Lawrence Central. So a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Okay, here are three important reasons why your son or daughter should play a sport in high school.
Number one.
High school sports teach valuable life lessons like self-discipline and time management skills.
Two.
Teens who play a high school sport have better grade point averages.
And number three.
High school sports are safer than ever before.
This message presented by the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. Coach, this Friday, the Giants have their final home game of the season. They take on the Lawrence Central Bears. Tell us about Lawrence Central, Coach.
Good program. New coach, Bill Peebles. First year as the head coach there. He came from Southport, where he turned around a Southport program and did an unbelievably fantastic job. They're 5-2. They opened up with a 35-0 win over McCutcheon. Then they followed that with a 35-0 win over Chittard. They followed that with a 27-25 win over Lawrence North. Then they hit a tough Warren team, which everybody knows. And then they've followed that up with a couple more wins. You know, they've beaten, I'm going to draw a blank here, they beat North Central last week 21-17 in a hard-fought game, and everybody knows North Central's getting better. They beat a Pike team. And then they lost one other one. They lost to Center Grove. And we're actually up on Center Grove at half and ended up losing 35-21. They throw the ball extremely well. Donyell, I can't remember the quarterback's last name, but Donyell throws the ball really well. He's got two very quick athletic kids, receivers, number one, number two, phenomenal football players. Defensively, they play a different scheme than we're used to seeing. It's a three-man front, 3-3 stack. Defense, they blitz, they bring lots of pressure, and they're very athletic. They got a McGrone linebacker who has numerous D1 offers, kicking game solid. So, you know, they're 5-2. They're sitting better than we are at 4-3. And, you know, they're going to come in here ready to take our heads off. That's bottom line.
Looking at Coach Peebles did at Southport, talk a little bit about what he's brought with that passing game, which Lawrence Central last year was more known for the run than for throwing the ball.
Yeah, their running game last year was really powerful because of Jared Doakes, the young man that's at Cincinnati now. He was really good. Fortunately, he's moved on. But what he's brought in is a different scheme. You know, whereas Jed was a run-type guy first, you know, they're really a 60% pass, 40% run. They run the ball effectively. They use it well. They use their receivers. They try to get you by scheme in bad positions. You know, they'll run no back. They'll run 3-by-2, 4-by-1, 2-by-2, 3-by-1. Then they'll come in double tight wildcat, put one of those really fast receivers in a quarterback, and he'll run, and he can throw it. He had a 65-yarder, you know, against Center Grove. The one running back did 65-yard pass out of the wildcat. So it gives us a different look and a different view than what we've seen from them in the past. So it's, you know, being the first time seeing them, it'll be new for us.
Is there any opponent that you would maybe compare the diversity of offensive formations at?
Pike, possibly, but their passing scheme is, whereas Pike had a lot of run-pass option where the quarterback can run it, pass it, or hand it. I mean, everything's theirs is not necessarily designed that way. You know, they've thrown for, in the last five MIC games, I think they've thrown for 1,100 yards, you know, 200 and some yards a game. So it's very effective and very efficient.
With Coach Peebles coming in to the MIC, and you kind of address this a little bit, it brings a different style? What does he add to the conference? Obviously, tremendous job that he did at Southport.
Well, he knows how to win. He knows how to get his kids to fit the scheme or the scheme to fit the kids, whichever way you want to look at it. He knows how to adapt them. He knows what he wants to do. He hired a good coaching staff. I know several coaches on his staff. They're good. He brought in some people from Southport with him. He brought Russ Sumner, who was the head coach at Danville. He's now with him at LC. Russ is a very good coach. And so he knows what a program is supposed to look like. You know, he's been around for a while. He was at Cathedral many years ago and then at Southport all those years. And, you know, when he first got to Southport, I think they only won one or two games in the first 3 years. You know, and then next thing you know, it's 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, couple sectional titles, you know, and made Southport a legitimate football program.
Now, Coach, you said you talked about Jared Doakes earlier in the show. What does it mean for them to lose him? When he was such an offensive weapon, what kind of hole does he leave in the program?
Well, it's kind of like the hole Chris Evans left when he left us. You know, if Chris was on our team, I'd still be smiling, you know, and he's having a heck of a, he's doing a heck of a thing up there at Michigan, and you know, shout out to him. And Asmar got his first start at Notre Dame last week, and that was pretty neat. And so, but yeah, it's, you know, everybody's, you know, I've been getting the question a lot lately, what's going on, what's wrong with the program, you know, what happened, you know, 2 years ago, you're sitting here at state champs. And, you know, I can still go back to that team. We lost some really good football players off the team. So we knew last year was going to be a little bit of a issue in spots, and I thought our kids fought well. You know, we got to the point in the sectional finals against Avon where we were at least positioned to win. You know, and that, honestly, with our team last year, we knew that was going to be a challenge for us. This year, I don't want to say we're underachieving because it's not over. I don't know that we've reached our potential or what I would even say is close to our potential. The problem with that is time's running out. You've got LC here in 3 days. You got North Central on the road next week. You got the bye week, and then you're playing. And there's no tomorrows then. And so the things that ail us, the penalties, the mental problems, things like that have got to become less and less of a problem and more focused.
North Central probably had been on a little bit of a downswing in recent years, even though they had some very good talent come through. But their win totals weren't that strong in the last couple of years. What has made it the biggest difference with this year's team already having 5 victories?
I think a little bit was just the you know, and I love Jed Richmond to death, but, you know, sometimes when you're not winning, I've always, my wife who's sitting here, I've always told her, if it gets to the point where I'm not winning, you know, and what I mean by that is if I'm going 2-6 and can't get it done, sometimes a change of scenery needs to be made. You know, it sounds bad, and you're like, well, you're doing everything in your power. Well, I don't know. I mean, you look at Tom Dilley's a great football coach. You look at what happened with him at Lawrence North, and sometimes you're at a place so long that you get, you know, and Dick's an exception. Dick, no matter where he went, didn't matter how long he stayed, it just stayed the course, you know. And that's a sign of a great coach. That's why he's in all the Hall of Fames he's in and things like that. So, you know, but you even look at guys like Bud Wright. What, 9 state titles at Sheridan in the last 4 or 5 years have been
rough,
brutally bad. You know, a couple wins a year, and you know, and everybody's like, you know, what's going on? He hasn't changed anything. Well, he's not going to, you know. And so sometimes a change of scenery is not all bad for a program, you know. And that's not saying I'm quitting, but, you know, if things went bad, I would expect a phone call from John Clark. I'm just telling you, that's kind of the way I look at things. You know, I don't look at it as a negative, but that's the reality of the world. You know, sometimes the same kids get tired of hearing the same person, and you know, and sometimes you need to look at things.
We actually did get a couple of questions through Twitter.
Uh-oh.
Actually, one's a comment from Renee Urich. She, and I think you would agree, disappointing game last Friday, Coach, but a great show of sportsmanship on both sides of the ball. I think she's talking about the big the prayer circle after the game. And then Alex Kirby, our old friend Alex Kirby.
Good job, Alex.
Former host of this of this show.
Good friend.
He asks, should we expect to see the 65 toss power trap this Friday night?
No.
No is the answer.
That's a good comment there, Alex. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so there you go.
Good for him. Good for him. He's doing well. Alex is doing well. He goes to ball games every night.
Bleacher Report now.
Yeah, and he writes books all the time and got hooked up with Gus Malzahn down at Auburn and wrote a book with him, and he's enjoying life.
Yep.
And he's a great student of the game.
Oh, he knows the game. There's no question. He knows lots about
the game. He's kind of like a Lou Holtz kind of character where, you know, no, not much of a playing career.
Right.
But, man, coaching and knowing the game. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Well, Coach, the sectional draw came out, and for what seems like the first time in forever, we don't get drawn to Pike.
Go figure that one.
I know. I think they heard the show last week.
No, you almost think it's rigged.
So ping pong balls just came out wrong this
so
time.
So we get 6-0 Brownsburg for the first round of sectional.
7-0 now.
Yeah, that is correct. 7-0 Brownsburg. Can you give us a comment on the sectional draw?
Well, you know, it goes back to the old thing. You wish the IHSA, you know, and I'm sure if the IHSA is listening, which they're probably not, but you wish they'd have a vision of what should happen. And what I mean by that, and I've not minced any words, when I was IFCA president, we tried to do the same thing. They should seed the sectionals. All right. I'm looking at just different sectionals around the state and some of the smaller school sectionals. I'm looking at 7-0 playing 7-0, and a bracket below them, 1-6 is playing 2-5. And you're thinking, somebody that's 7-0, who's had a great year, is going to go out in the first round, and somebody who's 1-6 right now, who's got no business moving to the second, none. Just you just don't have any business. And everybody's, well, you could upset anybody on every given night. No, you're not. No, you're not. And it just isn't that hard. There are too many states in the United States that seed their tournaments that it can't be that hard. And they like it. They like it the way it is. I'm not going to change it. They're not going to listen to Mike Kirshner. You know, but does that mean ours would have changed? Probably. I mean, if you're seeding just based on records, it would be Brownsburg, Pike, and us and Avon. Okay. My argument's always based on the best one is the Sagarin ratings, because he takes into all kinds of things go into that formula. It's a truer picture of what you're doing. And, I just think, you know what? I can't change it. We're gonna have our hands full in 4 weeks, you know. But right now, we're trying to focus on just getting a W at this point.
Now, this week will be the final home game for your seniors in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the emotions of a senior night.
Yeah, it's we do things a little differently. Some people weren't real happy with me in the past, but it's kind of run its course. We do a senior dinner. So this Thursday night after practice, our kids will all go home. They're going to get their best Sunday dress clothes on, and they're going to come over to the Harvest Room. We have a catered meal. Parents are all dressed up. Kids are all dressed up. We take pictures with them. We got this huge thing. Beautiful. And then I get up, and I, unlike what I can't do at a banquet, which would take 4 hours, I get up and talk about every senior individually, all 40 of them plus managers, and what they mean to the program. And we have our own senior night. Now, the tradition of walking out with your parents for the game, we don't do that. All right? That's kind of been replaced by this, because this is more their night, their moment. It's just them and their parents and me. The parents have to write the son an individual letter that the son doesn't get till that night in an envelope telling I kind of give them a little guidance. What does your son mean to you? You know, sometimes parents forget to say, this is how proud I am of you. Well, this is a handwritten letter explaining that. And then we do the Mirage boards. They were doing something when I left. The moms were having a big picture taken with their sons, all of them in jerseys. Moms and sons were all in jerseys up in the bleachers, and they're getting something done for all the seniors. So we make it a special event. I just don't like doing it on the night, because sometimes the emotion of the night, we have enough trouble focusing for four quarters. I don't need any other distractions. So it's a big night. You know, we hope to be home again, but there's no guarantees, obviously, when you're playing. If you drew a 7-0 Brownsburg, ranked, I think, fourth or fifth in the state, you know, so it's a problem.
Yeah, and you talk about the sectional and the way it would have shaken out. I was just thinking while you were talking, I don't really have a question here, but you could make it so that even if the Sagarin ratings, even if Ben Davis, let's say, heaven forbid, you were 3-4, mm-hmm. even if
I was last year,
or if you were 4, let's say you're going into the tournament, you're 4-5, uh-huh. okay, heaven forbid,
please knock on wood,
but you go into the tournament at that at that, you could make it so that the 4-5 team wouldn't have a home game.
Right.
Even
right.
if you use the Sagarins right. to seed.
I think like a team like, and we are playing at Brownsburg, but they should get a home game.
Right.
They've earned it in their regular season. You know, if I'm 3-4, or if I'm 2-7, I haven't earned a home game. You know what I'm saying?
But there have been years that we've gone on the road.
There's been years I feel like I never get to play a playoff game at home. The year we won it, we played all of them at home, but the sectional finals in the snowstorm at Avon.
Yeah.
The other four were at home. We played Pike at home. We played Warren at home and Center Grove at home. I guess three of the four were at home.
And that was odd.
That was very odd. Very odd.
Well, Coach, this Friday it's senior night and the Giants take on the Lawrence Central Bears. What are your final thoughts?
It's going to be weather, from everything I've been told, it's going to be a beautiful night. You know, that day's going to be mid-70s, sunny. Be a beautiful, you know, and it really cools off now in this time of year when the sun goes down. So, you know, Purple Rain's been following us. We had two fan buses heading up to Carmel last week. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It should be a good game. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to our kids putting four quarters together.
You won't have me on the PA either. You have Dave Lindsay back.
Dave's back. All right. So, all right.
Well, this Friday, as Coach said, the Giants take on the Lawrence Central Bears at home. Pre-game coverage will start at 6 o'clock on WBDG, kickoff at 7. Thanks again for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis Football Live at the Arby's at West 10th Street, and we'll see you guys next week.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.